This whole LGBTQ thing is it goes hand in hand with promoting racial mix and feminism. All of this is about revolting against everything that is natural in the world, turning the normal completely upside down. That this actually happens through the Western world today, that is nothing to talk about. I would say there is no sober person being honest. It doesn't matter if they are awake or a sheep of the masses. It doesn't matter if they are nationalists or communists or politically disinterested. There is no one who can deny this, that this is actually going on. Why it happens, however, that is something that could possibly be open for discussion.
Hello and welcome to Leadership Perspective, the official podcast of the Nordic Resistance Movement. This is episode number 28. My name is Fredrik Weideland, and with me, as always, the leader of the Nordic Resistance Movement, Simon Lindberg. Greetings.
Hello, hello, and thank you.
How are you doing?
I am just fine, thanks. It's hot and nice and a good summer so far, so I'm just fine.
Yeah. Are you having vacation?
I will have some, actually. We have made up some small plans, not something big, but going to check some sites out and visit some family that lives a little bit further away and so on.
Yeah. Yeah. We are maybe going to Denmark. We're not sure yet, but we have done that recent years.
Yeah, I will probably go to Norway a couple of days at least, but yeah, we will see.
Yeah, yeah. Good, good. And I would like to take this opportunity to talk about and salute one member of the Nordic Resistance Movement. Just one.
This is big.
It's big. Namely, it is Vera Oredsson. She's 95 years old. She grew up in the Third Reich and has fought for National Socialism and our people all her life, actually. She is our Alte Kämpfer, our Ursula Haverbeck, and she's still going strong. And the reason I want to talk about her is because now she is accused of hate crime again. And risks prison time. She has previously been convicted at the district court here in Sweden, but acquitted in the court of appeal on two occasions. The first time because she was allegedly doing a Hitler salute when she was actually waving, and the second time for comments she wrote in Nordfront's comment field. Nordfront is our news site. According to this indictment, she has made some statement about Arabs and Africans and about people who are not heterosexual, with reference to ethnic origin, race, and sexual orientation. But really, she has written things that very large parts of the population agree with, and that they themselves express in the lunchroom. Which has caused many to question why a 95-year-old who dares to stand up and say what she thinks and other things is being prosecuted. In Sweden, the system likes to actually prosecute older people, and state has set up a system to look for elderly people who write things about immigration on Facebook and make sure that they are prosecuted. This is because the people and the groups who engage in this, and also those who govern society here and finance these groups and persons, lack honor. While also the elderly are easier victims, as they do not really understand how the laws of today work. However, Vera Oredsson is not one of them. She understands pretty well how the laws work. She's very sharp for her age, but she believes she has the right to express herself, and she does so regardless of the consequences. And for that, she deserves our respect. In the end of the war, the World War II, she, as the daughter of a Swedish mother, ended up in Sweden, where she almost immediately got involved in the National Socialist struggle, and later on, a leading role within the Nordic Reich Party, where she also became Sweden's first female party leader for a time. And she led that party together with her late husband, Göran Assar Oredsson, until 2009. And Göran Assar died in 2010. The first prosecution against Vera was in 1973, when she, together with members of the Nordic Reich Party, wore armbands with the swastikas on them, and the district court acquitted them, but she would certainly have been sentenced to prison today. As mentioned, Vera Oredsson grew up in Germany, where she was part of the Bund Deutsche Mädel. She has seen both Hitler and Goebbels in action, and she was part of the National Socialist Volksgemeinschaft. She lived in Berlin and has told in her biography about the Allied bombings in this big city, where her neighbor's house were bombed. And she herself was struck in the leg by a ricochet from a brick ship. She also writes that at Breitenbachplatz, where the devastation was total and workers were working to clean up, a caravan of cars suddenly appears, and from one of the cars, a small man gets out, wearing overall, ready to help. And that was Josef Goebbels. That is true leadership. So, she's been through a lot, she's seen a lot, but none of it has brought her down, but rather strengthened her. Of course, any possible prison sentence will not stop her from continuing to fight. And she still does today. She has always been part of our big demonstration, including the demonstration in Gothenburg a few years ago that ended in violence with the police. So I hope she lives a couple more years. But what I still want to say here now is that Vera Oredsson is very brave and deserves all respect for her commitment in the past and today. And others from the exclusive group of Alte Kämpfer also functions as examples and forces us to keep fighting. Because if they can, so can we. That was my salute to this brave woman.
Yeah, of course, and I definitely agree. I live quite close to Vera Oredsson. So
yeah, you're her neighbor.
Yes, so I actually meet her quite a lot and have spoken many hours with her. And she has a lot of interesting stories to tell, of course. And also, it feels really good because everything she has been through, and she... is very, very grateful that she are allowed to be a part of our movement. She's very, very grateful to see that National Socialism in our organization blossom more than it has done since she left Germany. During all these years, she had been fighting in a Nordic Reich party with her husband and so on. The movement was never this big and this disciplined as we have managed to create in Nordic resistance movement. So she is very, very grateful for that. And it, of course, feels amazing to be able to give her that by continuing our struggle.
Yeah, and by talking to her behalf and the others, they have had a very hard time after the war, of course. And the movement here in Sweden, it wasn't really that big, but it was quite big. And then many people left, and you could not be a National Socialist anymore. And those people, Vera and others, they kept on fighting. I think that has made it easier for us, actually.
Yeah, and also she is the, as symbolic, she is the unbroken link between the Third Reich and Nordic resistance movement today, actually, which is quite interesting.
Mm.
So, yeah, she must be at least 100 years old, definitely. So we'll have to keep her alive for some more years. I think she has much more to give for the struggle, actually.
Yeah, and like I said, she's sharp. She's not unhealthy physical, I think, either.
No.
So she's not senile or something like that. She's very healthy to be 95.
Of course she is 95. Of course you will see some traits in her that she is a bit old. But yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. She's in much better shape than most 80-year-old people, I would say.
Yeah. Yes, very good. And then we're moving on to the segment, what has been going on in the struggle since the last episode? And with that, I mean the middle of May until now when we record a week in July.
Yes. During this period, I have been able to calculate that somewhere around 150 actions have taken place around the Nordic region. It's actually a slightly lower number than usual, but I know at least some of that is due to how we have done the reports. On one hand, the Norwegian site has been down after a hacker attack for a large part of the period, actually. It's now up again under a new web address that is motstandsbevegelsen.info. If any Norwegians hears this and have not checked out the new site yet. But because the site have been down, a lot of activism in Norway has not been made reports on, and therefore I cannot count them. And also, in addition to this, in Sweden there has been a lot of focus on training. I think we addressed this in the last episode. I think you talked about it in your introduction and so on, how we have tried to change the whole atmosphere around training. We have always trained and always been a physically active organization, but we have even more focus on it this year. And when it comes to training, we are not as eager to report as we are regarding other things, I would say. For example, if two people spend a couple of hours handing out flyers, there will almost always be a report about this on our pages. But if the same two activists meet to spar or to do a two-hour gym session together or something, in this case it will not lead to any reports, in most cases at least. Right or wrong, this can be debated, but that's how it is anyway, and it contributes to fewer reports during this period. However, there is still a lot that has happened, and as usual, I will tell you a little bit about the bigger ones of these events. To begin with, I would like to tell you that public activities have been organized several times during the period, where our members have been on the streets and squares to meet people and spread our message. For example, during the Vetlanda Festival, which is an annual event in the small town, the resistance movement lined up opposite to the other party's tents to show the white Swedes in Vetlanda that there is an alternative to their insanity. Then just An hour drive northeast, we find the significantly larger city of Jönköping. And here as well, activism has been carried out in a similar way. Also, several actions has taken place where our members stood with flags and banners on bridges over heavy trafficked roads. During one of these activities in Stockholm, our comrades were told by a sympathizer shortly after they left the place that communists had crept in and put up anti-fascist banners at the same bridge. The resistance men rushed back to the scene, tore down the anti-white messages and searched the area for Reds. But this time they unfortunately escaped. In any case, their propaganda did not last long and contributed to the bonfire later in the evening. The same weekend as we record this, I know there is a large public activity at a huge power meet in the Swedish city of Västerås, where our activists interact with thousands of white car enthusiasts. I'm not really sure what they do. I think they are handing out flyers, having discussions, doing banner drops, putting up stickers, whatever. I'm sure they are seen and heard a lot, but I've only seen some pictures from it so far. I've not read any written reports, but it would surprise me if it turns out to be anything else than a huge success. Otherwise, the best public action during the period must have been in the Danish city of Åbenrå, where our activists held a counter-demonstration against the Pride parade that took place there. In addition to photographing the participants and being shocked at how many parents actually dragged their children there for rainbow indoctrination, they stood up along the demonstration path with various signs with messages such as "there are only two genders," "let kids be kids," and "your mother is straight." Soon the police intervened and interrupted, and the Danish activists then instead went out into residential areas in the town and carried out a larger leaflet distribution with a specially made leaflet that had a title, "There is nothing to be proud of," and was aimed towards those who arrange and participate in the Pride events. Against the rainbow rubbish, there has also been quite a lot of activism in various places in Norway through specially produced posters. And in Ludvika in Sweden, someone had put out rainbow-colored benches in various locations within the municipality. Our activists glued and screwed metal signs that warned of pedophiles and that the residents should think about why these benches were placed, for example, directly adjacent to playgrounds for children. Then during the period, at least in Sweden, we also had more social events than usual, as both Swedish National Day and Midsummer Eve were celebrated. Strawberry cakes, barbecues, competitions, games, speeches have been held in several places around the country, and where also several members' children have participated. And you yourself gave a speech to the children at the Midsummer celebration in Nest 2 in Sweden, Vadeland.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as I understand it, this speech is a part of a whole year's project you have in 2023, where you will address children with your speeches during several different events. So this is quite interesting. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about this project, what it is about, how it is designed, what the purpose is, and how it has been received so far?
Yeah. 1 year indoctrination.
Yeah.
No, but it's like over the years we have grown into an organization with many members who have become parents, and there we had to make a choice. I'd either do as the movement did before and reject those who have become a little bit older and let them wander back into the normie world, or ensure that these parents conduct the fight in a different way and We have chosen the latter, and it is a decision that has benefited our organization. And concrete, this has meant that we have put more energy into organizing larger social meetings where we partly do purely useful things, such as having monthly meetings for our members, but also build camaraderie, eat good food, and create culture. And many families come to these events, and many children, which is what we want. We want our children to feel that the Nordic Resistance Movement is the most natural thing there is, that the organizations, members, and activists, that is mom and dad's friends, are good people who are on their side. And we want to teach them things at the same time. So the nest I belong to, Nest 2, who probably has the most children, have put even more resources into organizing children's activities. And it can be anything from self-defense training, pentathlon, or some pottering during an important cultural fest, such as Ostara or summer solstice. And when we have this big celebration, I myself have started to give lectures for children, which started during Ostara and continued during midsummer, and which will continue with autumnal equinox, I think it is in English, and also end with Christmas or Jul, the Julfest, which we will have. And these are four major festivals that our ancestors celebrated, and they all have connections to the sun and the annual cycle symbolized by the sun wheel. So the very purpose is to get or keep families in our ranks and teach our children about the history of our people.
So it's not about the differences between races or the Jew question or Adolf Hitler or something like this. You have been given these lectures to the children.
No, I talk about our people, of course, but not in a typical racial way like we do here in this podcast. Or
no, not, and, not the, like political indoctrination of kids, more like history telling, I would assume.
Yeah, I told them, of course, that the people celebrating these festivals, that they are the same as we are, of course, but in that matter, yeah. So the reception has been very good, especially from the older children. And then we are talking about children who are from 8 years old, right up to 15 years old. But I find it quite difficult to speak to the younger children, because even if you simplify what you say, it is basically a bit complicated topics.
But, and also, it's hard for them to sit still, I guess. They want to run around and do things.
Yeah, but yeah, they sit still and no one sleeps.
but I mean, the younger kids must be hard to get them to sit still. I mean, yeah. Of course, my kid is only 2 years old, but he would not have been sitting still like this.
Yeah, yeah, but I adapt, of course. So when I gave a speech at summer solstice, it was much shorter in time, maybe 5 minutes. And there was a lot of giggles because I went into the rites around midsummer. And as people surely know, there is a lot of rolling around naked in the fields and things like that. Mm-hmm. Basically, midsummer is about finding a mate. So I stress the importance of love, family, and the birth of Nordic children.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it's, I think it is probably appreciated by all children regardless. Just that they can come to our events and be part of them, and feel a sense of belonging with us. And also, when it comes to activities specifically aimed at them, that they can feel that we especially value them. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, almost two introductions from Vaderland this episode.
Yeah. You wanted an answer, but it's hard to give a short answer on this.
Yeah, but I hope the listeners find it interesting. It's a kind of a new way, something we have not tried before.
Yeah. And now we know that we're going to have two of these festivals in our nest. It is the Gothenburg area. So if you're visiting Sweden, just get in touch. You can come.
Yes, absolutely. And to connect to what you said right in the beginning, you said a whole year of indoctrinating children and laughed a little bit about it. But actually, it was a quite funny joke from Västerås now I saw on Telegram, our Telegram channel, where one of our activists, he stood with a green flare, and we often use green flares in our activities, as most listeners probably know. And then a family with children walked by. And a little girl, she was really interested. She was really amazed by this flare. So our activist actually gave the flare to the little girl. He said, "Do you want this?" Yes, she said. And he gave it to her. And the parents, they said, "Oh, thank you very much," and so on. And then it was kind of a funny text where it said, "Nordic Resistance Movement indoctrinating the kids since 1997. So
it was bad. But we must do that in a way, anyway, because the system does it, and we must vaccinate, if you put it that, our children to their propaganda.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, and we also, I think it was last episode actually, we talked about raising children in this multicultural madness. So if you missed that episode, listen to episode 27 of Leadership Perspective to hear more about these thoughts.
We have the children's podcast.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, if we continue then. As usual, several activities have also been carried out in the wilderness. For example, there has been canoeing in southern Sweden and a tougher three-day hike in northernmost parts of the country in Sarek. And here, among other things, a mountain was climbed by our comrades. And for those who missed it, I really recommend everyone to go to nordicresistancemovement.org and look at the amazing pictures that was posted of the absolutely fabulous nature from our visit there. There has also been made a film. It's truly amazing. Have you ever been there in Sarek, Weidland? You have grown up not so far from there.
No, just passing by. But okay. I'm very. I really want to go there because they're now doing these hikes. Is it the third year in a row or something?
Yeah, it could be.
And the pictures are really awesome. This one of the pictures here show a cliff that is, I think, 700 meters. It's like insane. Mm. Yeah, some 300 meter free fall.
Yeah.
So maybe in the future I go there, but I come from a little bit south of that.
Yeah, but close compared to where I have grown up, at least.
Yeah, much closer.
Yes. I have also, for a long time, wanted to go on a hike like this in northern Sweden. But unfortunately, it hasn't happened yet for me either. Overall, I have not spent so much time in the very most northern parts of Sweden, actually, which is perhaps not so strange anyway, since I, as said, grew up in the southern parts of the country, and Sweden is a very, very large country. To Sarek, for example, that is where our activist went, it is 1,800 kilometers from where I was born and raised. So about as far as I have had to Florence in Italy or Moscow in Russia. That's how far I have had from where I grew up to Sarek. And that is how long Sweden is. Quite fantastic, actually. And then Norway, of course, goes even further north than Sweden. But yeah, this was very off topic, but still some Nordic trivia. Last but not least, I want to mention that we also participated in Paris together with the National Party Les Nationalistes. We joined this party both at a nationalist conference and at their traditional celebration of Joan of Arc, which could be carried out on a small scale even this year, despite the fact that the treacherous police authority, they banned the event. So, yeah, you know what happens in France these days. It's almost a race war on the streets. This was a little bit before that, but still the police, they put down resources into banning an event for nationalists, putting down flowers on the statue for Jeanne d'Arc. Yeah, you could think that they would have had other problems to deal with in the multicultural hell of Paris. But yeah, this is how they do it. But yes, still a ceremony was held, as said. But yeah, I believe that was the biggest and best things that has happened during this period. So I'm happy there.
Yeah, very good. I like the Danish anti-LGBTQ activism.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yes, nice to do counter-protest. We usually do them now and then, but it's nice to see when we do counter-protests.
Yeah.
The Reds, they have not monopoly on doing counter-protests.
And the Reds, they don't do anything. They don't do nothing here.
Yeah.
Anymore. So, yeah, moving on to the ideological, tactical, philosophical question. And yeah, in the month of June, liberal democracy celebrated the so-called Pride Month, which is a month where it is extra important for the establishment's loyal drones to wave the rainbow flag, and where slightly more parades than usual are held, where naked men and women can legally wave dildos in children's faces. You also told me in the debriefing about various actions that the resistance movement carried out in connection with this. Due to a completed and survived so-called Pride Month, and that we have not talked about the subject before here on Leadership Perspective, in this episode we will talk about the gay lobby, transgender, and the Pride movement. And it is a subject that it's quite sensitive in Sweden, as the oppressive laws of the so-called democracy have been tightened properly and become very harsh. Almost whatever is said about homosexuals, transvestites, and the Pride movement that is not a direct tribute could be considered a hate crime, with a fine or, in worst case, imprisonment as a consequence. Having said that, we will try to adapt so as not to violate these laws, but still put forward the organization's positions and hope that it will be clear where we stand anyway. Furthermore, if you, as a listener, live in Sweden and know that you are easily offended, you should stop listening now. But our aim is, of course, not to offend or incite anyone, but only to convey our ideological positions. And these are not based on hatred of minorities, but on love for our own people and for the national families. Yes. So after that, we should be able to get started and go straight to the point.
Yeah.
Why does the resistance movement hate homosexuals?
Yeah. In fact, what adults voluntarily do to each other behind closed doors is something we don't care much about. We are advocates of the natural order, national socialism. And in that also comes an advocate of natural family formations and gender roles. And in order for our people to survive, new children must be born. And this is something homosexuals are incapable of without the help from modern science and other persons from without the relationship, that is. But naturally, they are not capable of bringing children to life. And this is something very important for us as we want our race to survive. So what we are opposed to is not homosexuals as individuals and just for the fact that they are homosexuals, but instead we oppose that homosexuality is normalized in society. But that is not enough. In today's cultural Marxist society, it is even exalted. Today's norm says that it is better to be homosexual than heterosexual, and that is something we strongly oppose. I am fully convinced that there are those with maybe hormonal disorders or something, people that are born gay. But I am equally convinced that the social environment also can make you gay. Many homosexuals have, for example, been exposed to sexual abuse as children by pedophiles. And many lesbian women, they have been treated very badly by disturbed men who abused them, assaulted them, etc. And this is no slanders or hatred or anything. This is just the way it is. It is facts. There are statistics on these things. And with a society that shouts out to broken youth that they are more desirable, more special, and better than others if they become homosexuals, I clearly believe that there will be more homophiles than in a society where it's maybe not forbidden to be homosexual, at least not other in the public space, but where it is also not something you ever talk about in public. And with that, of course, no pride parades, no woke gay positive messages in the movies and so far. So I think this whole hype around homosexuality, it actually creates homosexuals as well, except for the ones that are born that way.
What do we have against the pride demonstrations then? Aren't these just about spreading love?
The pride parades, they are definitely part of what I talked about in response to the previous question. These parades, they normalize and also exalt homophily. There are also a lot of other people with more extreme attitudes that take part in the pride parades. We can, as example, mention, also this is just fact, it's not trying to spread hatred or something, but the founders of the entire LGBTQ movement, that is those who lead the pride parades, in Norway as well as Denmark and Sweden, they were more or less open pedophiles. And as recently as 2011, 12 years ago, an open pedophile had the great honor of giving the opening speech at Stockholm Pride. And it wouldn't surprise me if it looks the same in many other countries around the world. Because if homophilia is completely normalized, the step is not far to embrace other, more queer sexual orientations as well, as we now also could see with transsexuals, that they push really hard to normalize. And when also transsexuals are normalized, who knows what's up next? Then these parades often also include a large dose of general decadence, by that meaning naked, drug-affected people, people having sex in public, people that makes a lot of noise and behave obscenely. These are not things that we want our children to have as role models. And it's not a coincidence that the pride parades look like this either. Sex is at the heart of these parades. They are about celebrating people who are sexually deviant, and children are encouraged to take part in the celebrations, and there are also various more or less sexually connected activities for children at these events. Why should sex and sexual orientation be an issue for children at all? Let them be children instead. They will be interested in sex fully naturally when they are ready for it. After all, heterosexuals, we can love each other and also have an active and good sex life without having to go on demonstrations where we want to wave our genitals in children's faces. In my opinion, this behavior has very little to do with love at all. So why is it so important for homosexuals to be allowed to do this? And how can you claim that this is only being done in the name of love? I can't understand it. How can you motivate to bring your kids to take part of this? It's not understandable at all for me.
No. You mentioned the pedophilia, and it is the article from Denmark isn't out yet, I think. But there it is. They had those placards against the founder of the gay lobby in Denmark, Axel Axgil. And he was convicted for pedophilia. His gay partner, who was active in Norway, Egil Axgil, was also convicted of pedophilia. The Swedish founder or the chairman of the gay lobby and also speaker of the Stockholm Pride, Kjell Rindar, was also openly pedophile. And he was chairman of the biggest gay lobby organization, RFSL, in Sweden, when they also had a pedophile work group. And that was its name also, the pedophile work group. So, I mean, this is the leading people. And yeah. No one steps up and say that, hey, maybe you shouldn't hold this speech. Maybe you shouldn't be here. It is true. It is absolutely normalized in this environment.
Yeah, exactly. And the media, they don't like, you know, they always push everyone in the nationalist milieu to take a stance away from each other and say, no, we don't support that and blah, blah, blah. But they, of course, do nothing like this when it comes to pedophiles in leading
positions. They interviewed them, not about pedophilia, but as a homosexual spokesman.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah,
it's like everywhere else in the West, but I thought that maybe people outside of the Nordics just wanted to have some specifics. About,
yeah, but as I said, it wouldn't surprise me if it looks similar in many other countries as well. Not that I know about this, but
I think it does in the US anyway. Mm. So
yeah,
yes. So. How many genders are there?
That's probably the easiest questions I've ever received from you here in all the episodes, Weidland. Of course, there are only two genders, male and female, boy and girl. Nature has given us two different sexual reproductive organs and a set of characteristics and tasks in life that are more or less distinct for these two sexes. Just as nature has made both sexes dependent on each other for survival. Women, for example, they have a uterus so they can get pregnant and bear children. Men, in addition to being able to impregnate the women, also have a superior physical strength so that they can protect the women and children, and so on, so on, so on. Then, of course, there can be girls who are a bit more boyish and boys who are a bit more feminine than others, but that still doesn't change their biological conditions and chromosomes. Even the most feminine of men cannot menstruate and give birth. And not the most masculine of women can impregnate another woman and create new life. 1+1, man plus women, it is symbiosis, and it is the law of nature. Everything else than this is just more or less crazy delusions and cultural Marxism.
Yeah, and everybody knows this as well. Actually, the other day I was watching Monty Python's The Life of Brian. And they have a, it's a classic, yeah, it's very good. And they have a sketch, I found it here on YouTube, I Want to Be a Woman. I think it is a little bit shorter than it was in the film, but they deal with this question anyway. So it was really fun. Have you seen it? Have you seen Just That?
Not Just That. I have seen the movie, but it's several years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you should check it out.
Yeah,
really funny. Yeah.
Maybe it's more funny now than it was back then because of all these craziness around genders and everything.
Yeah, yeah, of course, because this must be like, is it 30 years old? No, 20?
Yeah, yeah, probably more. But it's
not that insane when they did that movie, so.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. What do you think about young teenagers being encouraged by child psychiatrists to start taking hormone-suppressing medications and eventually change sex?
This is actually quite common in America, as I have understood it. Not so common here in the North, even if it happens, of course. But this is, anyway, just even if it happened in a single case somewhere in the world, it's absolutely horrific. And actually, it is child abuse of the worst kind. I mean, these young boys and girls, they're being abused by adults in a position of special trust and during a very, very sensitive period of their life. This child abuse will ruin their lives forever. It's actually pretty much equivalent to pedophilia, I would say. An ever-growing percentage of young people today, they feel really bad as a result of the culture of Marxist society. Broken young people who are denied the right to a natural identity, who sit indoors with smartphones and computer 24/7 instead of being out in the nature and exploring the world, who are drowned in capitalist advertisement, pornography and warped ideals of beauty, woke propaganda and drug liberalization. They get environmental toxins and synthetic proteins and all kind of crap through fast food, semi-finished products and vegan so-called climate-friendly dishes instead of really healthy home-cooked traditional food. They are raised by mothers and fathers who have been brainwashed into believing that curling is the best thing there is, that they are primarily supposed to be friends to their children, not parents. Or the parents are not there at all because they are too busy with self-actualization through long work weeks and or partying. These poor young people that feel bad, they don't need antidepressants, and they definitely do not need to be told by some Freudian shrink that they were born in the wrong body. No, they need extensive help for real, and they need a meaning to their life. They need something to feel proud of. They need National Socialism. But instead of National Socialism, they get happy pills and hormone blockers, and Big Pharma laughs all the way. No, those charlatans responsible for these abuse of our children, they will be severally punished one fine day. And that is a promise.
Very good. And it's really sad to, because many of them regret their not their choices, but the choices they do with the, because of the indoctrination. And they can't change it back.
No, and we're talking about like 12, 13-year-old children.
Children, and they get suicidal.
It's not even like, maybe it would have been bad, but if it would have been a 17-year-old, they're almost adult, you know. But it's like 12-year-olds. It's totally insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But I can't let the Monty Python go. I did some multitasking here. And
can you first do that even if you're a man? Talking about women and females.
Yeah, it's hard, but I try.
Yeah.
First of all, it was done in 1979, so very old, much older than I thought.
Mm.
And there is a comment here in the YouTube comment field that says, in 1979, this was funny because of how unreal it was. In 2023, this is funny because of how real it has become.
Yeah.
And that was like you said.
Mm.
And it's not funny. It is a funny sketch, but the reality is not funny.
No, exactly. Yeah. Funny because it's true.
Yeah. But now I will let it go.
Yes.
Because we're dealing with serious questions here anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
How should a young girl or boy who feels trapped in someone else's body act?
Yeah. There are no children who feel this way about themselves. These are, of course, pasted on words and pasted on feelings from a decadent adult world. But if you meet one of these kids that have that still expresses these things from the adult world, then, I mean, get out in nature. Experience our fantastic forests, mountains, and lakes. Start working out. Read books. And not some modern pop literature shit, but classic works from the truly great writers of yesterday. And if you get this kid to do all of these things, then I really think we have a very, very good start of how to getting out of these thoughts. Be proud of your heritage. Find out the wonderful and unique aspects that you are born with through your sex and through your race. Stand up for yourself and start fight the monsters that try to destroy you and your generation.
Very good. Drag queen story hours, that are something that occurs more and more frequently throughout all of the Western world. What are your views on this phenomenon?
Yeah. Again, it is about sexualization of children. So, I mean, these men, they get horny dressing up as women. It's not about them getting a headache or having an allergic reaction if they do not dress in women's clothes. No, it's a completely sexual thing for them. And why should you confuse sexuality and children at all? And what kind of men really wants to approve of these sexual desires among children? It's not exactly unthinkable that this makes them even more turned on. And this is thus encouraged by today's society. Grown men in women's clothes with hard dicks who sit and read fairy tales to our children. I mean, what the fuck? For me, it's completely impossible to see a single thing that anyone other than pedophiles could find positive about this phenomenon. Here, too, they claim that they are only spreading love. However, children usually get love so they can cope from parents, siblings, and friends. And if they really need more love than this, is it actually the right way to give it to them through sexualization from grown men? No, of course not. And for sure, it could not be considered to be a human right to use our children to get satisfaction. Hell no. Instead, it should be considered a heavy crime. That's my opinion about it.
Yeah, and they also do this in a very sexualized matter. Here in Sweden, we have two famous transvestites doing this drag story hour. And their artist names are Lady Busty and Miss Shameless Wine Whore. And I don't know if it would be better if they used makeup in a moderate way. But they are not. They really look like horse, and those two eats want to read the stories to very small children, like 2 years old and up.
Yeah,
I wonder if their agenda is sincere.
Yes, and I mean, where did they get these names from? It's not like they get it from children's books or something, or at least no. I hope it's not that kind of books they read to the children.
I think they read the ordinary books, but yeah. Just the them sitting there with the like the hard ones, no. Like you said, it's so insane.
Yeah, it's gross,
and it is revealing when they have these names and all this looking like they do so.
But still, media and everyone just yay! They are so amazing.
Yeah, they are strong and yes. But how does the resistance movement want to solve the problem of pedophiles who prey on children?
Besides this being probably the most immoral crime in existence, as it destroys the life of innocent children for sexual pleasure. Also, recidivism for pedophiles is quite common. And with these things combined, and clearly in front of us, I would say there are only two ways to go. For the serious cases, capital punishment, there is no discussion about it. And for those who may have not committed real physical abuse on someone else, but they may be watched child pornography or the like, then it must be maybe not capital punishment is necessary, but it must be chemical castration that applies. And this, of course, combined with a long prison sentence, definitely. So, yeah, much harder punishment than we see today, definitely.
Yeah, and then we cannot have a liberal democracy. Must get rid of it first to have these laws.
Yes, yes, absolutely, yes. And it can also be mentioned as a little bit off topic, because at least in Sweden, it's maybe a little bit prejudiced against National Socialists that, you know, we want harder punishment for every criminal and blah, blah, blah. But actually, it's very few crimes that we in Nordic Resistance Movement want to see harder punishment for. Pedophilia is definitely one of them.
Yeah. Yes, maybe this is already answered, but who is driving the LGBTQP agenda and why?
It is the whole establishment, really. It's media, as we have talked about here. It's social media owners. It's the entertainment industry, advertising businesses, politicians, large companies, education system, and so on. So it's really, really, really many fronts that are spreading all of this. All agencies that push cultural Marxism and the agenda that the people of the world should be enslaved and that the white race should be exterminated. That is what's behind their words. So this whole LGBTQ thing is... it goes hand in hand with promoting racial mix and feminism. All of this is about revolting against everything that is natural in the world, turning the normal completely upside down. That this actually happens through the Western world today, that is nothing to talk about. I would say there is no sober person being honest. It doesn't matter if they are awake or a sheep of the masses. It doesn't matter if they are nationalists or communists or politically disinterested. There is no one who can deny this, that this is actually going on. Why it happens, however, that is something that could possibly be open for discussion. For me, though, it is crystal clear that it is about giving the globalist rulers of the world total power and securing this total power for all time to come. After all, Yahweh has promised his chosen people world domination and that all goyim will be their slaves. And if you ask me, this is exactly what is well on its way to happening. Moreover, almost to the letter, after a certain protocol that came out at the end of the 19th century and which was accused of being a falsarium, but that regardless of who wrote it made a very good prediction. We Amalekites must be eradicated from the face of Earth. It happens right now. It happens through biological and spiritual warfare. The exchange, and thereby the Holocaust of white people, and brainwashing, and thereby poisoning of our minds and souls with woke propaganda and cultural Marxism. It's right in front of you.
It surely is. But is it only male men, female women, and nuclear families that apply in the new Nordic state?
Yes, absolutely. No. But as I touched on earlier, there are both more and less masculine men and feminine women. I mean, all people, even within our own race, are different. We will also not force anyone to have children and families. But on the other hand, family formation will be given a completely different status, both culturally and economically. We will affirm natural gender roles and give mothers of large families a particularly elevated status in society. Furthermore, we will ban homosexuality in the public space. And thus the era of pride spectacles and cultural Marxist propaganda is over. Of course, gender policies, sex swaps, and the like will be thrown on the dustbin of history where they belong. Then I also want to add that I really prefer the concept of natural families instead of nuclear families. The nuclear family is a phenomena created by big finance in order to get both men and women to work in their factories. The optimal life is not a man and a woman living in an apartment in the big city with a couple of children. Instead, we believe in a return to the countryside for most people, with lively small communities, small businesses, extended families, and perhaps even family farms and multi-family households, which in that case also could replace much of both daycare and elderly care. So yeah, that is the vision instead of what we have today.
And what can listeners do to fight the pride movement then?
You have heard this before, but the solution is as obvious as it is simple. Join, or at least support, your local national socialist organization. As with all other problems in society, there is only one true and pure solution, and that is national socialist organization. And except for this, dare to question in your everyday life. Go visit the story reading with drag queens and put the participating parents against the wall. Question colleagues and neighbors who drag their kids to pride events. Question cultural Marxist school teaching and select what content your children get to take part in form of entertainment and social medias. Dare to take a stand. Dare to resist. Dare to fight. Fight for something new, something better, something more beautiful. For a world with natural families and healthy, proud children who are actually allowed to be children. Because children should be like teeth, strong, white, and proud. And it is up to you who listen to this to fight to keep them that way.
Yes, and with that, we are done for this time. You can send questions and suggestions on topics for future episodes of Leadership Perspective to info@nordicresistancemovement.org. We do also appreciate both negative and positive feedback. Please spread this episode on social medias and help the Nordic Resistance Movement in any way you can. And you can read more on our webpage, nordicresistancemovement.org. Next episode will be available the 6th of September. See you then.
Yeah. Yes, see you then. Take care, everyone. Goodbye.